over, Mr.
Oh, I let you.
Hey, get in here. Dallas is about to start.
Welcome to the Ewing Barbecue. My name is Mary.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Josh. Just eating some ribs here.
Today we're going to be discussing season one, episode two. Now, I have two different episode names for this.
Okay.
So on IMDb and on the DVD set, this is listed as The Lesson. But I have a book called The Complete Book of Dallas, and this episode is called Lessons, plural.
It's Lessons in mine too.
Mine, same as yours. We have the same book.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
As long as the word lesson is in there,
right.
I guess.
So it's the lesson / lessons, what else? All right, so this was written by Virginia Aldridge, directed by Irving J. Moore. And who wants to start with their good, bad, great?
All right. Good, we see more of Pam with a spine, which she had before she went up to that fateful rooftop a few years later. She stared down Lucy. She just went right after Lucy. And the way that was kind of the beginning of their real relationship by the end of that episode. Because you could see, how they connected in the disco with that tight turtleneck and the Dallas disco. Bad. I'm gonna call this their version of the Disney Song of the South. It's the one that they probably would lock away forever because it's a creepy. We look back on it, it's a creepy incestual underage relationship thing here going on with Lucy and Ray and his little sex truck there. Let's see, what do I have for great? I was just overtaken by the whole creepy episode factor of the whole 30-something-year-old man and the girl who looks like she's 12 bouncing around in the back of in the front of the truck there.
Yeah,
and the whole,
it's gross.
But she is the instigator. It doesn't make it right, but she is the bloody instigator.
She is, but he is a 30-something-year-old man. He knows better. He can stand up to a 17-year-old girl and be like, girl, no.
You're going to get me in trouble.
He had Maureen with him, and he brought her later to the barbecue a few episodes later.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah, I was just too creeped out to even come up with a great. I guess we'll go back to... More of Pam knows best here. Pam, the social worker.
Right. Yeah.
And we won't get into the wardrobe yet in that episode. Hold that thought.
Okay. So good. My favorite part of this whole episode is the JR Betty Coed conversation when they're at breakfast and JR says something like, "Oh, you just look like a regular Betty Coed." Like, he's trying to be kind of cool. And Lucy shuts him down, and she's like, "Betty who?" And he's all like, Betty Coed. And then he looks down at his breakfast and continues eating, like, no, I'm cool. Shut up. I love that.
Did anyone notice the kind of creepy, like, ogling her look that he gave her when she went to go upstairs to change clothes?
JR?
He just kind of glanced over at her like,
ew.
Yeah, he kind of glanced over at her like, ew.
Gross.
Like,
oh, no.
God, no wonder Lucy screwed up.
Right. My bad is the whole fake sexual harassment. And then with Roger Hurley, the douchey guy from high school, like trying to blackmail her. Like, the whole thing is gross. And the whole episode, right. And so, like, even the title,
lock it away.
Is lessons. And, like, what lesson are they trying to teach? Because I feel like it's a questionable one that's not going to hold up for today.
Perhaps Lucy should avoid people named Roger.
Right.
Oh, yes.
No Rogers. Gross.
Right.
Great is the costume design for this episode. I love everything about it. I love Lucy's, like, powder blue, like, pantsuit that she has going on. I love it. I love when they go to the disco later. Yeah, right, scarf. Bobby's tight pants. And then Pam's whole outfit in the disco, which now I know the name. I never paid attention to this before. It's called the Sky Blue Disco.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yep.
Opening in Braddock, Texas.
What was up with that jacket Bobby was wearing earlier in the episode? That long, pleathery thing?
Yeah, it's very 70s.
Went up to I don't know. When they were outside and he was getting in the car to go to the... I think he was getting the car to go to the office.
So I just thought I'd get because of the outfits, I was going to give a shout out. I looked up the costume supervisor, and her name is it's Jean or Jeannie Malone. So shout out to costume designers. Yay. All right. Was the blue episode one? So the red one was this one. Powder blue was maybe episode one.
Later, I think.
Okay, okay.
I think she's blue one later.
And then the clothes went flying out the car window, and Pam stopped the car. And
right.
Said,
Pam's like, oh, no, you didn't. you're getting out of this car, and you're walking to pick them up.
Pam's very bossy in this episode.
She is.
And all these episodes.
It's true.
So we're doing, so it's good, bad, and great.
And great, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
All right. Did you do... You, that was your great.
That
right?
was my great. That's the costume design.
Okay. Well, first of all, I don't particularly like this episode. I've never liked this episode. It's not my favorite. But
mine either.
It is mostly because of the creepiness.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
But I will say I have my favorite. Wait, hold on. My good. I'm going to do this one time, probably only. I will give props to Lucy for her performance in this episode. I don't think she's as cheesy in this episode as she is in a lot of the other ones. I mean, more along the lines of like, oh my God, help me. You know, I think she did a pretty good job. Because there's some episodes where I'm like, oh my God, I do not like her performance. But this one was good. I'll give her that. That's my good. My bad is, okay, I said I really didn't have a bad, except the crap. Sorry. Okay. The story.
The whole episode was creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the best one.
The storyline, I think they do a lot better job of doing, making more stories in one episode. Like, they're not just focusing on, like, on this one, it's just about Lucy and the whole episode. In the later ones, they have, like, two and three things going on at a time. Like, you know, JR and Bobby may have something going on, and then Genoway comes in, or, you know, it's different storylines in one episode. So that's my worst, that it was just, like, a straight, you know.
The token office scene right in the middle, like, oh, yeah, we're in oil. We gotta show that.
Oh, yeah.
Oil. And of course, I can't. My grade is the disco. Like, the discotheque is my life. I love that episode. Hard. I always will. Okay, I do have one little thing though. When her and Roger are talking about leaving to go, she said, "Do you have ID?" So obviously, you know, it's probably a 21 older club. Okay.
Yeah.
The whole time after,
was it 21 back then or 18?
Or 18? And so
I don't know.
Pam and Bobby find her at the discotheque. You know, and all that happens. And then instead of saying, like, how the fuck did you get in? Like, they're not even worried about how she got in. That really bothers me. And then he's like, well, we're going to dance tonight at the end.
Like, yes, I have that same thing written down. Like, what? Like, you're cool with her being in here, and you're totally going to, like, drink and dance with your teenage niece.
Yes. Weird.
Okay.
Weird.
Well, she slept with her uncle. She had her other uncle ogling her, and this one is just drinking with her. So, drinking
right,
and partying.
Right.
Creepy family.
Oh,
yeah.
Creepy family.
Yeah. No wonder she has issues.
Exactly.
Now, and apparently the public thought this episode was not the best because it dropped in ratings from 18th the previous week to 50th out of 69 shows.
Wow.
It'll be interesting when we keep going because I've been reading the book again to be able to see when it starts going back up. Like when you can really tell that the episodes start increasing in ratings. That's going to be...
That'll be interesting.
Now, did anyone pick up on... we had Raul and Francesca, not Teresa.
Nice.
Side. And maybe Carmen was hiding out in the barn somewhere.
Maybe, yeah.
Ray's got everybody stocked away in the barn.
Speaking of the barn, did anyone notice that creepy horse in the beginning with that white mark? It looked like a cyclops.
I did not.
When Bobby's out at the barn, and I look over and I'm looking at the horse. I'm going, does that horse only have one eye?
Oh God.
That was disturbing. I don't know who cast that horse, but that horse.
Cast the horse.
Yeah, that one needed to go to the horse handler. The glue factory or something.
Oh. So I love Miss Ellie, and I think Miss Ellie's amazing always. But in this episode, I'm questioning her. So Miss Ellie sits down with Pam, and you realize that Miss Ellie knows everything that's going on, basically. Like, she knows all. She's like, she pretends to go to school, and half the time she forgets to take books, and you know, whatever. And so she knows exactly what's going on, and she's not doing a goddamn thing about it. Like,
she did more to the reporter that came on the ranch than she did to Lucy in that episode.
Yeah.
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 Right. So, yeah. I'm questioning Miss Ellie's, and then she's like, "Well, maybe it's a good thing I didn't have daughters." And it's like, "Well, maybe, because like you got a parent a little bit there."
Right. She called it the charade of Lucy.
Yeah.
Well, let's call it the charade of you being trying to be a parent at your age, Grant, Miss Ellie.
Right. I feel like she feels that maybe that's what's wrong with Lucy, is that no one parented her. Like, they brought her in, you know, took her away from her parents, and then, well, Gary left, and then took her away from Valene, and then everyone's just like, whoa, there's the kid in the house.
Let's put her over here, yeah. And maybe she'll...
Jock will pat her on the head and buy her things, and...
It's not like you can plant her in a pot and have her just grow, and then there's a child.
Yeah. Right.
I will say, I said this was my least favorite episode. It's not. I lied. It's probably my second. The next one's my least favorite episode.
I'm putting the one with
next week. But...
I'm putting the one with Guzzler down there at the in the lower categories. Now, did anyone? I love some of the lines used in here when Pam refers to Lucy as baby face, and Bobby calls her shortcake, and then Miss Ellie says, "Junior, you were born old."
Which is so true.
Yeah.
So true.
They were just throwing out the names and the lines in that one. It's just...
Baby face.
Of course, let's go right to the beginning of the episode.
Okay.
First scene, we have Snow and Lucy on a horse. How often do we see Lucy on a horse in the series?
Yeah, hardly ever, yeah.
As often as JR was on the horse, probably.
Do we ever see JR on a horse? I can't...
When they go on the honey trip.
Oh.
And did he get on the horse in Winds of Vengeance, episode 4?
I don't know, but I think he's on one later whenever McKay takes over the ranch.
Oh.
But that's all I remember.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to look at every episode. And there's on a horse.
Is Jay on a horse? Drink!
Now, it's funny how this episode that we don't like got referenced... and brought back in a clip later in the series.
It did.
And when was
that? JR and Bobby were in the elevator, and there was that scene where they had the flashback to the scene in the office when JR says to Bobby that he has to make decisions that only an executive makes. And then, because JR was trying to get back into Ewing Oil at that point in the 300th episode, and they flash back to that scene from episode 2.
When they're stuck in the elevator.
Yeah, when they're stuck in the elevator.
A bottle or something in the...
Yeah, and then of course JR has to discipline John Ross later in the series about skipping school and referencing Lucy and how she used to skip school and all the letters that were taken out of the mail.
Huh.
But it's the episode that we think is the creepiest.
It's definitely very creepy.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the creepiest. And you know, that's what's so sad, is because if you only watch it, like, let's say you're kind of a viewer that's only watched a couple episodes here and there and maybe a couple of seasons, you don't really get to see Ray at his best, because Ray actually turns into a really good person.
That's true.
He's actually probably the best of the bunch. And so that's kind of sad. But, I mean, it is a show. But in my head, I'm like, it's real.
Right.
You notice they use the front door a lot in the early part of the series? Later, it was always they come in through the back and the patio and into the kitchen and or wherever they came through and came out in the...
Yeah, and I just don't like that house. I like
that house is, it's very cold.
Yeah, I like the Southwark we know, you know.
Yeah.
I do have to say, Oh, go ahead.
No. I was just gonna go ahead and tell yours. It might spin into something else.
Mine's just really dumb and personal. I was just gonna say I love the mailbox because that mailbox was my mailbox as a kid, like at my house. It's the same mailbox, and that's pretty random.
You gave that mailbox to the show?
Yes, I gave that mailbox to the show. No, we just had the same.
Wow. Their mailbox that she goes out and gets the letters out of.
Yeah. It's like it's like white and it has black trim and it has the little flag is red and it's the exact mailbox my family had growing up, and so I always forget about it, and every time I'm always like, oh,
that's so, mailbox.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
That's just a little thing.
I kind of found JR's fake concern for Lucy going out at night kind of amusing. It's like, yeah. You don't give a crap about
her. He does not.
And then she's like, thank you, Granddaddy. I hate that.
Yeah.
At the discotheque, whenever Bobby eyes Ray with his hands on Lucy, he goes over and then he actually punches him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, going to take it outside, blah, blah, blah. And then what happens? Did he just leave? He got marine and just left? Because they never went outside.
I think
did they make up. Did they make up? I'm real confused.
I think they just kind of walked
Ray
away.
Says, we have nothing to talk about.
Right.
Right. Ray said we have nothing to talk about, and then he gets her and leaves, I think.
Yeah, and stomps off and then shows up with her at the barbecue 3 episodes later.
Right.
And that's the last time we see Mom.
Because Bobby's upset, but it's mostly about Pam.
Right.
Yeah. And Sue Ellen is still the brunette on the couch.
Yeah,
she is. Even at breakfast, she says, like,
and her cold personality towards Pam in those early episodes. But she just, like, walks back into the house.
And I don't understand her problem with Lucy's outfit. When she's all like, you're going to go to school like that? Mm-mm.
Aren't you going to change?
Right. And it was actually, you could hear, she obviously didn't have much to do, but it was that little side conversation outside with JR about the, he's talking about the buttons and going to the tailor on the clothes and the stitching and all this stuff off to the side. And that was what the producers were talking about when they picked up on their little chemistry from their side banter that they saw. And then they had, I think in an early episode, it was Linda giving this look with her face, with the eyes, something she did with the eyes. And the producers were just like, we need to explore that more.
Yeah, they have chemistry for sure.
Oh, yeah. How would Julie have gotten along with Phyllis and Sly and Kendall? Julie was just, I don't know. I think she spent too much time on Gilligan's Island.
Exactly right.
Julie remind me a little bit like she's supposed to kind of be like Joan from Mad Men.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like
they're
supposed to be kind of similar characters there.
That's actually,
like, she probably, really, like, if she was there with Sly and Phyllis, like, she would have been, like, above them and, like, ruling
them. She
would
have been, like, a head bitch.
Totally head bitch. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Probably, yes.
Because she's like, I'm totally sleeping with them, so back off.
And Sly couldn't lay claim to that until very late in the series.
Right.
But, yeah, that episode definitely was creepy. Not one of their better ones, and we can obviously see why the ratings dropped in that episode.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like maybe the point of the episode, other than to get Pam to have an ally in the house, in Lucy, was to also show the power of the Ewings and how everyone's afraid of them. Because with the people at the school, like, we're like, the school was literally, like, ready to, like, just let Lucy slide through for the most, except for that teacher, because they didn't want to fuck with Jack Ewing.
Oh, Mr. Miller, yes.
Yes, Mr. Miller.
Who turned up in episode 236.
Ooh, what is another,
as a character named Holden.
Oh, dang.
It's nice, the recycling of actors on the show.
Wait, you said
237?
236. My dogs are out there whining right now.
Well, do they have some input?
And they might. They love to watch. They watched Dallas with me all day last Saturday. Nice. Bed, me all day. Showed what I did. I did nothing.
And I also think maybe it showed that Lucy was way more like JR. Like, she's more of a Ewing than, like, her father was.
Exactly. She's got that part of the
She's
Ewing,
a Ewing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would have been interesting to explore later on if she had taken
if she had done something with
Gary's
that,
but... voting rights yes. and done something.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Instead of bouncing from No, and it's a question I've always wanted to ask Charlene in interviews and say, if you could have, as someone, obviously as the person who played Lucy and knew Lucy, if she could have done something with the character that the writers didn't think of, what she might have come up with to expand on her character. But because they certainly, you know, didn't use her to her full potential later in the series, especially after she returned from Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In that really 80s outfit. Wasn't there like that? It had like almost like a hula hoop in it or something. Was,
oh, God.
When she came back in the 80s.
Yeah. See, I want to skip ahead to all these now. I'm thinking.
I know.
In time, young Skywalker.
I know.
But
there's
a
whole bunch that I love. And this one's so hard for me to talk about because I didn't really. I don't hate it.
I don't hate any episode. I feel like some of these early episodes are not like. They're not what we love about Dallas for the most part.
Right. And this was the one I was referencing where they had the snow on the ground and then it melted.
Yeah.
And then they brought in all that gypsum to fill it out and make it look, and then it was pink. And then they had to bring in new gypsum, and then they got it colored right, and then it snowed again. So they were Mother Nature was just messing with them. And I don't know if you picked up in the book, was that David Jacobs had letters that Jock had written to Digger in the 10 days after this episode supposedly had aired that he used as part of the war of the, not war, the early years.
Yeah.
Oh.
So those turned up in TV Guide as like parts of the letters. Then they were dated around April 12th, 1978, which was just after this episode aired.
Cool.
Oh, I do see that in the book now. I must have missed that. Okay.
So we... Have we hashed this one?
I feel like we have. I feel like,
there's nothing else to pull out of it.
There is, there's not much, because it's really just one story.
Right.
Right. It's still in the early episodes being, self-contained and episodic.
Yeah. Right. So. Yeah, so awesome. Well, that was episode 2. Thank you for joining us. Please.
It'll be better next week.
It will. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and, check us out on Facebook and Instagram. We are Ewing BBQ. Oh, and on Twitter.
Ah, yes.
We have a brand new Twitter.
I'm working on
the Twitterverse.
Yes. All right. We will see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Y'all come back now, you hear?